Skagway extends an offer to a new manager. And Haynes residents, did your property values go up? A lot? Join the club. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. The Skagway Assembly on Friday approved the search committee's recommendation of George Eads as new Skagway manager. The search committee of Assembly members Dan Henry, Mark Schaefer, and Steve Burnham recommended Eads after an in-person interview in Skagway recently. While the Assembly is yet to finalize the offer to Eads, Henry said he and Mayor Stan Selmer made some preliminary negotiations with Eads to expedite the process. Henry said Eads tentatively agreed to a 2-year contract with no probationary period and a salary of $110,000 per year. The municipality will also provide a year of housing for Eads. Eads currently lives in Pismo Beach, California, and if he accepts the employment offer, he is expected to start in Skagway in early April. Interim manager Tom Healy is on the job through the end of March. Some Haynes property owners received a shock in the mail last week, a big increase in assessed property values from the borough. Mayor Stephanie Scott said she wishes residents had been given more warning that the assessments for some saw a sharp increase.
What I want the community to know is that my heartache in this situation is that everybody was surprised, and I was surprised too, and I think it would have been nice to have some advanced warning.
We'll have more on this story, including a chat with the assessor, Jim Canary, the mayor, and residents on our Tuesday evening newscast. In a standing-room-only assembly chamber, the Haynes Borough Assembly on Friday addressed what some assembly members had considered unprofessional statements by the chief of police at a public meeting earlier this month. The assembly convened a special meeting Friday for the purpose of addressing Police Chief Gary Lowe's statements during the March 5th assembly meeting. At that time, the assembly asked manager Mark Ernest to give an update on a recent complaint within the police department and what Ernest was doing to address it. Chief Lowe also spoke, detailing an interaction with an employee and his response to it. He also told the assembly he had been personally threatened by Chilkat Valley News editor Tom Morfitt. Chief Lowe attributed the newspaper's reporting of Ernest's investigation into the incident within the police department as an attempt by the newspaper to discredit the chief and the department to the public. To hold a special meeting, 3 assembly members must sign on. Assembly members Deborah Schnabel, Jerry Lapp, and Joanne Waterman asked for Friday's meeting. But before the assembly members could discuss their concerns, more than a dozen residents spoke in support of the chief during public comment. Speakers included current employees of the police department and family members of police officers. One resident expressed concerns about the chief. Because of the size of the crowd, Mayor Stephanie Scott limited comments to 2 minutes each. When it came time for the assembly to have its discussion, 2 issues from the March 5th meeting were raised by assembly members. Deborah Schnabel said her concerns were about the statements Chief Lowe made in regards to the media.
We cannot afford in a community to have our government accusing the media of having a vendetta against it for whatever reason. We have to believe in the integrity of all of us in the jobs that we do in the community.
Joanne Waterman said her concerns were about the statements the chief made about personnel within his department. She said she feels borough officers have a responsibility to protect employees and also the borough. Waterman said she detected an emotional component to Chief Lowe's comment that didn't meet the professional standards she expects of borough officials.
And if I can express anything to the chief at this meeting, it would be that I have a higher expectation of his role as chief of police and as an officer of the borough.
Steve Vick agreed with Waterman that the comments about department personnel were inappropriate. He said borough officers have a different standard when speaking in public about borough business.
I agree. You know, the chief is most likely inappropriate in some of the talk, but I also think he's not aware of that, some of it. And he should be. I think that's what we're here doing. At the very least, that is what we're here doing. Making sure that the standard of communication that a borough officer, as well as ourselves, should be held to, should be clear for everyone.
Jerry Lapp said he was uncomfortable with some of the statements made by the chief at the meeting, but he said also the assembly and mayor shared some of the blame for letting the discussion go further than it should have in public. Assembly members Dave Barry and Norm Smith were not present at the March 5th meeting. Both assembly members said they read the transcript of the meeting and either watched a video of the meeting or listened to the audio recording. And both men said they did not think the chief said anything inappropriate. Here's Assemblyman Norm Smith.
Reading his transcript over, I don't see that, well, it seems rather trite to me. As I guess I'm looking at this as an outsider, although I am an assembly person, but I wasn't here for the meeting. So I have a real hard time supporting this without further information.
The chief also spoke Friday, saying his only intention at the March 5th meeting was to address the concerns the assembly had about the investigation into the complaint.
To this day, I have taken ownership for what I did, and I felt it was important to try and give you the entire story without getting too identifying the people involved. If I got too identifying, I'm sorry. That was never my intention.
Steve Vick made a motion for the assembly to direct the manager to apply corrective action to ensure that the concerns of the assembly in relation to the statements made by the chief during the March 5th meeting are addressed. The assembly amended the motion to include two specific areas they want addressed: appreciation for a respectful relationship between law enforcement and the media, as well as appropriate public comments in dealing with personnel matters. The motion passed by a vote of 4-2, with Barry and Smith voting against it. The topic of the police department is not entirely over. The assembly will again address police department issues at its meeting next week. That's when the group will talk more specifically about the actual complaint within the department. The assembly will also hear the results of the police chief's performance evaluation from the manager. A major Southeast Alaska environmental organization has endorsed the latest Sea Alaska land selection legislation. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
The Southeast Alaska Conservation Council opposed the Sea Alaska bill from the start. It negotiated with the regional Native Corporation, but actively lobbied against the measure. Now, it's endorsed revised legislation proposed by Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski.
This wasn't an easy decision.
Buck Lindekugel is a SEAC attorney who's been active in timber issues.
We tried to be realistic about our chances of stopping the bill or the opportunities available to continue to try to influence decision makers as the bill moves forward.
Murkowski's bill would transfer about 70,000 acres of the Tongass National Forest to Sea Alaska ownership. The Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act required the corporation to choose property from within boxes surrounding communities with large numbers of shareholders. Murkowski's bills have allowed selections from other parts of the forest.
We also got to remember that Sea Alaska has received 290,000 acres already around the villages, and those lands have been heavily hammered.
While SEAC changed its stand, others did not. 9 Tongass communities near the proposed selections are actively opposing Murkowski's new bill.
Greetings from your neighbors on North Prince of Wales Island. We, the residents of Point Baker and Port Protection, are asking you to join our voices in opposition to the latest Sea Alaska lands bill.
That's the beginning of a radio commentary voiced by residents of the northwest part of the island. Point Baker's Andrea Hernandez says the 20-plus people in the recording speak as a group and didn't want to put names to specific statements. She did provide a list of those who spoke. The commentary points to Sea Alaska's agreement to a Claims Act amendment limiting selections to areas around Native villages.
Now the corporation wants to exchange the land from their designated areas to areas around our towns. How fair is this?
They particularly oppose a provision transferring additional land at Calder Bay. They say roads and clear cuts will damage a highly productive salmon stream and take some of the highest volume of old-growth forest left on the northern part of the island.
More road access with the associated hunters and the resulting second growth will not fill the freezers of local hunters.
More degraded wild salmon habitat will just add to the gradual decline of our wild stocks.
Thorn Bay, Hollis, Nocatee, Whale Pass, Kuprinoff, Edna Bay, and Cape Pole are the other communities in the group of 9. Sea Alaska says the legislation has undergone many changes since it was first proposed in 2007. Vice President Rick Harris says the latest version reflects most critics' concerns.
There are a lot of organizations that have looked at it and said this bill, Senate Bill 340, is much better than any of the other versions.
We see it as a bill that would just make a lot of rich people within Sea Alaska richer.
Dominic Salvato is a Sea Alaska shareholder living in Anchorage. He runs a Facebook page that's critical of the corporation. He says past practice shows the corporation is not environmentally responsible.
It's a man-made tsunami that went through Cake and went through Nuna. And it's just promising to be more of the same. So it's got to stop somewhere. The Tongass has given enough.
Other Native activists support the bill. Richard Peterson is president of the Tribal Government of Kasan, a Haida village on Prince of Wales Island.
Sea Alaska has so far been good stewards, and they've been coming and meeting with our community and working with us and engaging us in that process. So it's a deal that needs to be closed.
Murkowski's land selection bill has not yet been heard by the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee, where she's the ranking Republican member. This is Ed Schoenfeld reporting in Juneau.
For KHNS News, this is Marga Friedenauer. Special thanks to Ed Schoenfeld for help with this report, and thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.